Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Snack Time with Mike and Ant. I'm one of your co-hosts, Ant Testor, a writer of names and flavor text Snacks. For Wizards of the Coast and articles at Snacks. Gathering Magic. With me, as always, interrupting me, as always,
Snack and Snacks,
is the one and only Master of Weens, Mr. Mike Linneman.
We're happy to be here today. It's a good day.
Oh, it's a great day.
Ant, I'm super excited about today.
Dude, I mean, anytime we get a preview card, I'm ready to go.
Like, I know, it's like the best email to get. You, out of the blue, you know, you'll get it, and you'll be like, ooh, these people don't email me that often. Right? It's either I did something really, really bad, or it's a preview.
That, dude, oh my god. I'm really so glad that between. You said that, because no joke, like, without fail, these emails come across when I'm, like, in the middle of a work meeting, and I just see, like, Wizard of the Coast, and I think, like, shoot. Like, what did I say on Twitter?
What did we do wrong?
I'm busted again. Like, and then it ends up, and then I see the JPEG. Like, then I see the little image, and I'm like, oh.
There's a paperclip, and I'm like, oh, biscuits.
Yeah, this is going to be good.
It's something. So super thankful for that. Thank you much for thinking of Snack Time, for we keep it flavorful. So obviously our flavor gem is, you know, our preview card, which obviously, Ant, what do we got today?
All right, so today we have the Serum Visions. Yep. It is obviously a reprint.
Obviously a reprint, used to be common, moved into uncommon and conspiracy, and it's uncommon again. So value's not going to completely get obliterated. Right. But since they've had two reprints recently, they're probably not going to reprint this for a little while. No question about it. Especially with new art that is amazing.
Amazing. And new flavor text. That is also amazing. But Mike, go ahead, do your flavor text. I got to
talk about this art. So, first of all, art. Who is it? It's Ginger Sashis, who is the praetor of the blue faction of Scars of Mirrodin, which is neat. Most importantly, by showing Jin, we realize that not all the Praetors are dead. Because in the storylines, you don't always hear what's in between what's going on. So by having these reprinted sets, you get to hear, you know, are people still alive? Koth is still battling. Was a great preview.
Right, and then we just had Victor Adame's Angel, right?
Correct.
Angel,
so you get horror. To see these snippets into the plane to say, like, ooh, he's still alive, he's still there. So in case of a return or other scheming or other long-term plans, we get to see it through just a reprint without even explaining any movement or storyline that, oh, this person's still there. Cool, which is neat. Personally, I think the coolest thing is that he's injecting the serum, which we haven't seen yet.
Right.
So, Ant, you know the story on this much better than I am, how yes. often this is used, but I get to see, okay, they literally inject it. Okay, that fits the Phyrexian flavor, and his eyes are glowing, which, if you look at every other...
We don't know for sure whether or not they are eyes.
Sure. Stereotypically, where eyes would be located,
right.
though some Phyrexians don't have eyes, and since this one... you know, has psychic powers, as we found out through the card Psychic Surgery, that didn't need to see things per se. But by right. showing this, you can see eyesight, foresight, looking in the future, scry. I get it. That's a very clever tie of art to flavor to mechanic, which is just flawlessly done, seamlessly done, simply by showing light up blue eyes. Bah. Brilliant. And what are you seeing in this early?
So, as far as art is concerned, I find it fascinating that the Phyrexian way of utilizing serum, at least for the blue praetor, is through injection directly into the neck. This is right. a somewhat kind of dark depiction of utilization of the serum. For those of you who don't know, serum on Mirrodin goes all the way back to the original Mirrodin set. We learned that on right. the card Thirst for Knowledge that there was this fluid that was called lymph. And it was the fluid essence of these blink moth creatures that were on Mirrodin. And they would get distilled down into this serum that would then be consumed by a lot of the blue-aligned like humans and Veldekin as a way of having basically like think of it like a knowledge potion in D&D or an intellect potion. When consumed, it would make them have a heightened awareness and heightened intellect.
It was like the spice in Dune. It was like Mirrodin's spice.
That's actually a great analogy. And it played a huge role in the original Mirrodin story. Like, the Veldekins were obsessed with this stuff. They were addicted to this stuff. They literally would wear fish bowls of the serum on their heads. Awesome. So that they could be constantly, you know, drinking it in. The main villain of Mirrodin, Memnarch, he was addicted to this stuff. Yeah. But anyway, so what's interesting is that originally it was meant to be consumed as like a drink or whatever. So if you imagine you have a beer and it affects you, right? In a whatever way.
Sure.
Jyn Gataxus is taking that serum and injecting it directly into what I can only assume is his Phyrexian bloodstream.
He's mainlining that, which you don't recommend.
Exactly. He's mainlining the serum, which has a very dark kind of like visual story to go along with this like iconic blue stuff that we've been seeing for years. So I love that. And I love the little touch of him kind of like playing with the line. Blue glowing line, like in between his fingers. I can just see him sitting there, you know, like maniacally twisting his fingers around that little line of blue goo as it, you know, injects directly into his jugular and gets his mind racing.
I love it.
Yeah. Which ties directly into my flavor gem, which again, Serum Visions, but the flavor text half, which says Serum was once derived from Mirrodin's blink moths, offering visions of inspiration. Now it is pulled from Phyrexian ink moths, yielding visions of perfection.
Heyo.
So a few notable things here is that the choice of words in saying that serum was derived from blink moths, which we've talked about before. It was like think of a distillery style process. That was the original version, right? But then they switch up the verbiage and they say pulled from Phyrexian ink moths. So it creates this very invasive, very visceral kind of process where if you imagine like pulling the wings off a fly, if you had an ink moth sitting in front of you and you sucked the serum out of it, it just makes it sound more painful, makes it sound so much more Phyrexian. And we know that, you know, Phyrexians are obsessed with searching for perfection in themselves, in others that they might take over, and ultimately in the entirety of Phyrexia. And so the idea that the original serum would just offer, I'll inspire you to maybe create a new type of weapon, or, you know, I'll inspire you to be more diplomatic. Like, this serum provides inspiration for the future. It's almost as if it's showing Jyn Gataxus like the blueprints of some insidious Phyrexian design that he's now going to go work on or whatever.
Which is funny that they tie that in just by putting this character. Like, if you choose a different character, a different praetor, that doesn't make sense at all.
No.
Right? Exactly. Like, you put in really any of the other praetors.
I think Shieldred could have been the only one where it would almost make sense. And then also maybe Elishnorn. But hers is so much more faith-based that, again, like, because this is so tied to science, Jyn Gataxus is really the only one it just makes perfect sense. Perfect sense.
And I mean, we have this science theme arc everywhere from early concept works to, you know, even Numbing Dose. You know, it has the needle and injection and surgery. Even Jyn Gataxus's main, like, philosophy, the great synthesis, is very science-based.
Right. And there have always been these things, like, floating around in the lore and the flavor text and whatnot that's speaks to how like the Phyrexian oil carries the blueprints of Phyrexia itself. So the idea that this Phyrexian is injecting himself with serum that is derived from another Phyrexian creature is providing him with visions of perfection just kind of furthers that message of, you know, Jyn Gataxus is sitting there and maybe he's getting a vision of the next horror that he's going to create. So I love that tie, and I thought the flavor text on this card was beautifully written. I'm very excited to figure out who wrote it.
Because it wasn't you.
That's my new... No, it was not me. So that's my new goals. I got to figure out who wrote this bad boy.
Figure out who wrote it. Okay, so other things that we got to talk about. Obviously, one, we talked about the science actor. We talked about, well, this is really the only one of the few sci-fi looking artworks, whereas Magic dances around in between sci-fi and fantasy and something in between. But this is really sci-fi. It 100% is.
Right.
You know, high tech, monster that's dealing with metal. Like, it looks realistic. It looks based. It also doesn't have a background. So it's kind of a insight into like a monster's character. Which is cool, which makes me think more Dune than anything else. And I know you saw, you met, found this as well, and about this idea of past Phyrexians, this DNA flowed through it.
Yes.
And it shows, unfortunately, Phyrexians back in the day didn't have colors. They were all just black, which
or colorless,
which was fine back then, but it really didn't show the nuance. And luckily, Scars of Mirrodin really got to see how the things vary. You know, you could even find a good aspect in Mercy, which you didn't think possible by Phyrexians, but it very much exists.
Right.
But you saw a visual cue.
I did, yeah. One of the things that I really enjoyed about the new Phyrexia twist on old Phyrexia was that, so when you looked at old Phyrexia, there were a ton of visual cues over the years because, like, the Phyrexians have been with us from the dawning of magic, right? And over time, they've developed a lot of these kind of hallmarks that tipped you off that the creature or whatever was being depicted in the art was Phyrexian. And when we finally got to New Phyrexia, what I found to be really interesting was that they took a lot of those visual hallmarks that, as you pointed out, used to only be in black or colorless cards, and they diluted them across the five colors. And one of the things that blue received in this kind of like adoption of old Phyrexia and the new Phyrexia was the use of this like scientific artifice in the form of these like liquid injectors or liquid capsule things integrated into armor or into weaponry or what have you. It was easily seen that the best example is the Deceiver Exarch. From New Phyrexia, it has these blue vials of what I can only now guess to be serum lining its spine, right? Another one being Fuel for the Cause, you can kind of see these like blue things integrated into the Veldekin's armor. But if you go way back in the Magic's past and you look at cards like Phyrexian Infiltrator from Invasion or Urza's Armor from Urza's Saga, and even Sabo's Assassin, again, from Invasion, like, you can see these, like, weird glass vat things with, like, purple bubbling goo or yellow and green goo inside of them. And these are, like, really old-school Phyrexian depictions with these kind of, like, mage-punky, like, horror tech type of illustrations that used to be a easy hallmark of, you know, you'd look at that and go, oh, that's kind of Phyrexian, or that has a very, you know, Urza versus the Phyrexians visual cue to it. And I loved seeing that recreated in New Phyrexia in the blue Phyrexians.
Sure. And that great continuity, which not only ties from then to now, and you can wonder what will be next. Well, this visual cue will probably continue. And I know you mentioned also about the storyline with Memnarch. And if people haven't read the books, you know, spoiler alert, but it was years ago. We've been to the plane.
Yeah,
twice.
I don't think we need to say spoilers anymore.
Well, it's a spoiler alert.
2001
it's fair.
Or something.
Nailed it. But when Memnarch really took over and had this, when Karn left Mirrodin, built it, Memnarch started stealing creatures from other places. Right. Like, other things came here through soul traps. It's a whole thing. You can read all about it. But he could see things. And that's what the serum could do, this scry sort of ability that you could see possible futures ahead of you, which we saw and thought, well, okay, this injections, is there anywhere else that has these? And, you know, we looked pretty hard for artworks. And, you know, we saw serum powder, but you know, it added mana and didn't draw a card, but it looked somewhat visually similar. But really, it comes down to serum is scrying and drawing cards. Like, that, like, mechanically and in flavor, it's seeing the future, choosing the best idea out of them among possible options. I mean, that's really, in a nutshell, what these pools were, which people, like, dove into and, you know, immersed themselves in and tried to learn as much as they could. But in doing so, that in decks that do this, the most popular deck as of late is the Grixis aggro deck. Well, Grixis doesn't have Serum.
Right, like, right, yeah. That would have been a weird flavor.
Alara, they don't have it. It doesn't make sense. Right. And part of the reasons why we had got this card is I play, in fact, in a variety of forms. And the blue, one of the blue versions, does play Serum Visions. It allows you to not only fill your graveyard for Become Immense as a windmill swing, but it also allows you to smooth mana, allows you to get the right pump spell at the right time, since I talk about an effect all the time. For those of you that don't know, or Ian right here, Infect is, you know, a very quick deck played, and you need to really stack what you do to get the right pump spells to get an Infected win, which also flavors into having an Infect deck with the right art that actually feels like Infect but doesn't feel like Mirrodin.
Right.
If you look at the original artwork, like, that has nothing to do
with the
deck now. It's like, okay, this
and honestly,
like,
that's one of my favorite parts of this new reprint. Like, if I'm going to be totally honest, because, you know, and people know me, like, I talk about this all the time. I love when reprints have either different art or a different type of flavor entirely that tie to the same mechanic, because ultimately what that enables you to do is build resonant, flavorful, thematic decks that don't suck. And not sucking being, like, the most important thing there, because so often, like, you want to make a flavorful Vorthos-themed deck, but, like, your friends rock an Infect at the table and you're just going to get stomped. And it's not going to feel good, you know? So just the sheer fact, like, Wizards isn't dumb. The people who work there know the meta. They understand what's going on. And when you look at a card like Serum Visions, which desperately needs to be reprinted, like, constantly, we got to keep the price of an uncommon or common card down.
Correct.
You know?
Fair.
And so they recognize that. They know, well, duh, Serum Visions, it's used in Grixis, but it doesn't make sense on Grixis. So what other decks is it used in? Oh, it's used in Infect.
Boom.
Does it have a Phyrexian Infect-themed artwork? Oh, no, it doesn't. Let's print one.
Let's make it happen.
Like, they are hyper aware of that stuff, and I love the fact that they're starting to utilize their reprints more in a way to funnel these thematic pieces into those decks so that ultimately, as Mike put it, he can sit down at the table, play blue-green Infect, and not only have a amazing, like, strong deck, an actual contender, because we all know Mike's a spike at heart. He can also have a Vorthos themed flavored deck. Like, he can have all blue and green new Phyrexia lands. He can have Jin Gitaxis on his Serum Visions. Like, the whole deck, potentially, give or take some cards, obviously, I know, like Might of Volcros or things like that. But
fair.
The deck is slowly becoming more and more and more thematic.
I think that's really encouraging. Awesome. I mean, I would love to see, you know, Vintage align that way, Legacy align that way. And I think Modern's the closest thing, because they have a Modern Masters every so often. And I do definitely see people like Ethan Fleischer, you know, in Commander saying, okay, well, this is Commander deck is really a sum of a variety of different things. How can I start using reprinted cards into that role? And especially as these are becoming multiple options, like, some of these cards, like, you know, Lightning Bolt only have a couple depictions, but, like, say Dark Ritual, for example, obviously they can't reprint this easily, but the card has like 15 versions. Like,
like
you could pick the exact correct one for the reprinted set to build flavor entirely. And hopefully in like 10, 15 years or so, that some decks that they still get used and used and used and remix can have closer to those thematic things. I mean, even into the sideboards would be just amazing looking.
And that's where I think, like, Wizards is starting to realize how, like, that's an absolutely fantastic way to utilize your reprints. Like, we're always going to have reprints. We're always going to need them. So you have to ask yourself, like, what's the best way I can use a reprint so that it feels as new as possible, so that a player wants to use this card, wants to open this card in a pack. To use your Dark Ritual example, what do we not have? Like, a Liliana Vest Dark Ritual, right?
Ooh.
Like, that would be amazing, and it would be thematic, and you would be able to create an even better Liliana Vest deck. right? So I just think that this card, Serum Visions, is kind of like the poster child right now for reprints. Like, moving forward, when we have a reprint, especially of a card to the caliber of Serum Visions, we should really be thinking about what decks is it used in the most, what is the overall theme of that deck, and can we reprint that card following along the themes of that deck, so that eventually we can get our A-list decks, like Blue-Green Infect, up to a flavorful standard as well.
Can you imagine some of that, like, getting flavored all the way through, like, Urgent Exorcism? You know, really, I mean, no, seriously, it's a card from Innistrad, who cares? It destroys a target, spirit or enchantment. Weird, but what if Kaya got that as her themed card in the next dual deck or whatever, and she's this urgent exorciser, you know, because she kills the ghosts? Like, in that type of flavor, it's not so ham-fisted, you know, when there was a core set and they're like, well, this is Jace's thing or whatever person's thing. You're like, yeah, I realize that. I'm in the set. But when you slowly put pieces, Hansel and Gretel it, you know, as small nibbles in different sets, then people are like, oh, yeah, I haven't had a thing about Tybalt in 4 years,
right,
man.
Right. But it feels rewarding, right? Like to your point, when we open, you know, when we're going through Innistrad and we're opening up a whole bunch of Liliana cards, like, it's expected, right? It's something that we knew we were going to get, right? But when you're opening up a card in, like, a Commander product and you see, like, oh, this card lets me steal my opponent's equipment and oh, it's Phyrexian themed. Like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I can put it in my Phyrexia deck. Exactly. Or to your point, like, if I open up some kind of, like, Stampede card and it's themed to, like, Domri Rod or Raid. How do you say it? Rod or Raid?
You're the word guy.
Whatever, Domri, right?
You're the word guy.
If it's themed to be, like, a Domri-flavored card, I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, I didn't even know I wanted to make a Domri deck until now. But now I have all these cards that are kind of themed of him, like, running stuff over or whatever. So it's just nice to kind of get these little nods and winks slowly over time, because it reignites our desire to go back to these decks that maybe we haven't played in 2 or 3 years, or maybe we took them apart for the latest, you know, standard tournament or FNM or whatever. And it just kind of, like, gets us back into the swing of using these old cards that we've, you know, had for 10 years sitting in the bottom of a shoebox or something. So I love seeing reprints like this. I really hope that, you know, we see this quality of reprints continue into the future. And it doesn't just have to be limited to, like, Modern Masters or Conspiracy or Commander. Like, you know, we can see this kind of stuff on any plane. You know, if we go to Amonkhet, like, we can see cool reprints potentially, or some interesting flavored cards on Amonkhet. Like, that would be pretty sweet.
And I think we probably will. I mean, especially with the Gatewatch, there's ways that you can slowly integrate this and not make it super cheesy.
I also think, too, like, it doesn't have to just be the Masterpiece series. Like, obviously, the Masterpiece series is another great way these, like, super flavorful reprints, but it doesn't always have to be that. Like, it can just be, like, a common, like, a cool common.
No, I mean, yeah, or just a playable common that's, like, the card Murder. Like, eventually they're going to make another Assassin Planeswalker. Like, that needs to be themed. It just does. It needs to be reprinted to fit that Planeswalker. And that is logical, and it makes sense. And we celebrate it in these reprinted sets, or at least we Vorthos folk do, where other people might not even care. And they're like, oh, yeah, well, it keeps the cost down. I get to choose a different one. But for us, wow, it's magical Christmas land. Because it opens up a brand new deck.
And I just think it's important to realize that, like, it doesn't always have to just be the Planeswalkers. Like, I think the Planeswalkers is an easy way, right? Like, putting Liliana on a Necropotence or whatever. Like, yeah, that's awesome. And I could now make an even more thematic Liliana deck. But what's really, really interesting is when you have a deck that's, you know, like a Grixis deck. Like, oh, we have a Grixis deck that's really good right now, and we reprint a card that has Grixis flavor to it. Like, that's really cool. Because not only are you recognizing what's good and what's in the meta right now, but you're also recognizing what the theme or overall theme of that deck is. And again, Serum Vision's great example of that. You know, like, what do we have right now? Blue green infect. Awesome. Let's reprint it with an infect appropriate piece of art.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. I dig. That's all we got for today. Pretty sweet. I'm super excited to open these. I need to play set immediately, like straight up immediately.
Like now, like yesterday.
I need it now. Like I'm going to go to the first opening weekend of it. And I'm literally going to be trying to get as many of these as I physically can. Want to thank Wizards again for that. Thank you so much. We're overjoyed by it. I looked in my inbox and lost it. I was like, oh my God, people can even see the excited emails. But I encourage you to get a playset, use it in your infect decks. If you can, donate a playset to Ian. He'll appreciate building his first infect deck.
Ian doesn't even know.
Yeah, he'll find out eventually. But want to thank again Wizards. Thank our patrons again. It's the little things they do, but it does add up. It does matter to us quite a bit to have, you know, sounds right. No more fishbowl, which is now just funny lore to us. Following up on this, you can find us at Snack Time Cast. It's at Snack Time Cast, which usually there's a pack one, pick one in the snack aisle, which was your favorite snack to pick. Ant chooses Gushers. I choose Shark Fruit Snacks. It's fine. Ant, where can they find you on them internets if they want
to
find you?
So the easiest way to get a hold of me is obviously on Twitter, at Antestator, or they can just go to my website. It's antestator.com.
Fair enough. They just Google Vorthos Mike for me. It shows up everywhere. And on Twitter, we'll be sounding off about the episode. Thanks so much for watching today, and we're going to be back super soon with some brand new flavor.